Blog Talk Radio.
Of God, good morning and welcome to another edition of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones, and we are in studio today to continue to dissect Jensen Franklin's idiotic, imbecilic, moronic sermon, Jezebel's Children. You know, back when Jensen Franklin wrote his New York Times bestseller, The Spirit of Python, I thought the man was just completely retarded. I did not know that there was another level of retardation, and Jensen Franklin has proven me wrong. He has stooped down. The man has stooped down, has downgraded himself to another level of biblical and spiritual retardation. As put forth by his sermon, Jezebel's Children. I didn't know someone could be so stupid. An ignoramus in the pulpit? My goodness gracious, he's a super-duper ignoramus. The number here, dear saints of God, and we put out the number each and every day because I have given Jensen Franklin an open-ended invitation to call the broadcast whenever I am talking about him. And I have been doing much talking about Jensen Franklin, and he never calls. I send them certified letters, he never answers. I always do the right thing. I give him a heads up. But he never responds. He's a chicken. He's a yellow belly sapsucker. This guy's got not one yellow streak running down his back. He's got numerous yellow streaks running down his back. The guy is, listen, he's not just yellow in his back. He's yellow, listen, he's yellow all over. He's like one of those newborn baby chicks that comes out of the egg, you know, little baby chick that's all yellow, completely yellow. That's Jensen Franklin, Chicken Little. The sky is falling. Jezebel is coming. Jezebel's children is coming. That's Jensen Franklin, Chicken Little Franklin. Always talking about demons, always talking about the devil, always talking about this spirit and that spirit, and don't feed the spirits, and Jezebel's giving birth to baby spirits, and these spirits, if you feed them, they'll grow up. I didn't know I was running a demon nursery. Did you know that you were running a demon nursery? Did you know that? Now, I know that church, listen, I know that churches have a nursery, so that parents can drop off their kids while they listen to the sermon. I didn't know Jensen Franklin had a demon nursery. Listen to his sermon. That's what he's talking about. Jezebel's giving birth to these little demons, and you, without knowing it, you're feeding them, and you're taking care of them, and you're making these little demons grow, and when they grow, they attach themselves to you, and they attack your mind, and blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, this guy can go on ad infinitum. The stupidity that flows out of his mouth is nonstop. It's like a broken faucet. So here we are. This is part 10. I'm dissecting his sermon. I'm doing a forensic analysis of his sermon. And my goodness gracious, this guy gives me a headache. Every time I listen to his gibberish, I get massive headaches. This guy is just so stupid. I've never heard of anything so stupid. Never heard of anything so stupid. And this guy is supposed to be a pulpiteer extraordinaire. He sits on he's one of the members of the Evangelical Advisory Committee to the president. What can these people be advising the president? Think about it. Him and his bopsy twin, Paula White. What could they be possibly telling the president? Oh, my goodness gracious, that Jezebel's children are after President Trump? That's a scary thought. That these people, these morons have access to the President of the United States. Paula White gets up there at the Rose Garden and she starts binding demonic systems. Lady, shut up. They must look at her and, I mean... Vice President Pence must look at Paula White and say, my goodness, when I become president, I'm giving this lady the boot. She, no doubt, she's right at the Rose Garden binding demonic systems. Nobody knows what she's talking about because you can't find demonic systems in the Word. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. You can't even find demonic systems in the apocryphal books. You can't. Listen, Paula White is so way out there, you can't even find demonic systems in the Kabbalah or the Zohar. You can't find. Listen, these people are way out there. They're fringe. They're like the planet Pluto. Way out there. Don't get any sun. Don't get any light of the sun. They're out there in the far reaches of space where darkness abides. That's how ignorant these people are. Well, listen, I want to thank everybody for the wonderful emails. I've been getting so many wonderful emails. You're thanking me for the outlines and how thorough the outlines are and how useful and helpful the outlines are when you're following me. And, yes, you can have these outlines free of charge. All you have to do is email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com. And as we go along, I don't know how long the series is going to be because, you know, I'm very creative as I move along. If I feel I need to add this and add that, I'm going to do it. And I'm not in no rush. I know that Jensen Franklin preached this message one time, and already I'm up to broadcast number 10, which means I've done 10 one-hour shows on his 30-minute little sermon, but that's because I'm doing a lot of correcting. That's because I'm doing a lot of important teaching. And I have to assume that the great many of you came from a church like Jensen Franklin's where your pastor taught you nothing for 20, 25, 30 years. You were sitting there for a long time and no pastor bothered to teach you what you should know. So now I'm picking up the slack and I'm teaching my brothers and sisters some very important things. This way they don't get conned by these pan-demonistic preachers who see demons everywhere. My goodness gracious. My goodness gracious. This Jensen Franklin, he must have a special set of 3D glasses because he sees things nobody else sees. When he wrote his book, The Spirit of Python, he said he could see the devil squee. He said, I see the devil slowly slithering, slowly coiling, and slowly squeezing Christians to the. In one part of his book, The Spirit of Python, he says, I see Satan leisurely enjoying his meal, which means Satan was swallowing a Christian. That's what he's implying, that Satan, the python, was swallowing a Christian. The problem is nobody ever reported anybody missing. No wife, no husbands. You know, nobody came home and said, they dialed 911 and said, yes, this is the police department. How can I help you? My pastor, Jensen Franklin, was teaching on the spirit of Python, and he said that Satan slowly slithers into our homes and slowly coils himself around us and slowly squeezes us to death and then ultimately swallows us. My wife's not hasn't been home for 2 days, so I'm here to report missing person, and the spirit of Python seems to have swallowed my wife. No one has called the police department to put in a missing persons report. All of Jensen Franklin's teaching in the spirit of Python is stupid, plain stupid. No one in church has been squeezed to death. You listen, there's not one Christian out there who read Jensen Franklin's book who could ever say, you know, I was squeezed to death. Because had you been squeezed to death, you wouldn't be able to tell us. Because you'd be dead. Just put on your thinking caps and just think logically for a minute. And so now with this new sermon, Jezebel's Children, he's serving us a new kind of Kool-Aid. A Kool-Aid we refuse to drink. Sadly, many of his church members there at the Free, I would say all of his church members there at the Free Chapel Church there in Gainesville, Georgia, and the other six campuses were drinking the Kool-Aid and asking for more. These people love the Kool-Aid that their senior pastor serves up week after week after week. Oh, my goodness. These people have been spiritually lobotomized. These people have no theological or biblical brain. They're not thinking. Jensen Franklin's church members aren't thinking. And if you are a Jensen Franklin church member and if you would like to call in the broadcast to give me a piece of your mind, which you have none, call me at 516-418-5978. Again, the area code is 516-418-5978. Call in if you're a Jensen Franklin member. Please do give me a piece of your mind. It's got to be a very little piece. If you have any, it's got to be a very little piece because I saw people in the video just giving him amens and high fives and praises over his sermon, Jezebel's Children. What a dopey sermon. My goodness gracious. You must be into fairy tales. You must be into fables. If you liked, if you were applauding, if you were saying amen to anything that was coming out of Jensen Franklin's idiotic mouth. Well, I told you, saints, that Jensen Franklin's sermon stands upon five pillars of interpretation, five, which I will show you by the time this series is done, that all five pillars of interpretation are faulty and erroneous. I have already dispensed with pillar number one. I've already obliterated pillar number one. I am currently obliterating pillar number two. In pillar number two, Jensen Franklin claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit, because the woman referred to in the book of 1 Kings, starting at chapter 16, and being made reference to in 2 Kings 9, that woman was a human being. That woman was a daughter of a king, the king of the Zidonians. His name was Ethbaal. And then from daughter, she went to being the wife of Ahab, king of Israel. Then from wife, she went to being mother of Ahaziah and Jehoram and Athaliah. So she was daughter. She was someone's daughter. She was someone's wife, and she was someone's mother. These are human beings. Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians, was a human being. Ahab, king of Israel, was a human being. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, and Jehoram, the son of Ahab, and Athaliah, the son of Ahab, was a byproduct of Ahab's union with Jezebel. All of these people being referred to here were human beings. And human beings cannot have intercourse, cannot copulate with spirits. Therefore, the Jezebel being referred to in 1 and 2 Kings was a human being. And Jensen Franklin claims that when this human being died, this wicked human being died, that her human spirit transitioned into the spirit world and became a demonic spirit. But this is, again, this has no biblical foundation. This does not square with the Bible. And that's why this second pillar of interpretation is so faulty, so erroneous, that we need to devote much attention to it. Because, listen, that's where he takes off. He's taken off. I mean, you know, like a plane takes off at an airport. I mean, that's where he's revving up his engines, ready to take off, and he wants to let you know that this woman called Jezebel in Revelation 2:20 isn't actually a woman, but it's really the spirit of Jezebel from the book of 1 and 2 Kings. Look, this guy must spend a lot of time watching Twilight Zone reruns. Because his teachings are straight out of the Twilight Zone. His teachings are straight out of that old black and white television program called The Outer Limits. Don't adjust your televisions. We are under control. You have come to the outer limits. Yeah, where Pluto is. That's where Jensen Franklin resides. All right, so let me play the portion of the sermon. We're going to start at the, and this is the 1 hour, 6 minute, 31 second version. That's the version that I'm working from, because when you go to YouTube, there are so many different clips and versions of Jensen Franklin's sermon called Jezebel's Children. The one I'm working from, the audio that I'm playing for your benefit, comes to us, and it's 1 hour long, 6 minutes and 31 seconds. And I'm beginning to play this thing by the 4 minute, 6 second mark. 4 minutes, 6 seconds. And I want you to note how he first states that the woman being referred to in Revelation 2:20 is not really a woman. So ladies, don't get offended because of the title of my sermon. Don't get offended that I'm reading Revelation 2:20 and it refers to a woman, but don't worry. She's not really a woman. She's a spirit. That was faulty interpretation pillar number one, and we obliterated that pillar. Now we're on faulty interpretation pillar number two, because now he wants us to believe that after Jezebel died and after she made a pit stop at the church of Thyatira in Revelation 2:20, now 2,000 years later, because remember, Revelation 2, chapter 2, verses 18 through 29 were written in the year 96 A.D., so he wants us to believe that 1900 years later, that now the spirit of Jezebel, who was once at the church of Thyatira 1900 years ago, is now in your church, is now in your life, wreaking havoc and having babies. Listen, this is just crazy. This is just crazy teaching. That spirit of Jezebel is out there today causing havoc in the church world. Let's listen to Jensen Franklin. This is bizarre. This is just bizarre teaching.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I don't have time to read that. Verse 18. And the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things. Says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith, your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servant.
No, it's not a reference to a spirit. It's a reference to a woman, because Jesus called her a woman. John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, called her a woman. So it's not a spirit. That's your spin on it. But your spin doesn't square with what Jesus said and what John recorded under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So that's pillar number one. Let's look for pillar number two.
To commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel But I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches. And it is a picture and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches. In most of those churches, there's things that Jesus himself compliments, and there's things that he confronts and combats. And there's certain characteristics of those churches. For example, the Laodicea church had the characteristic of being lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were just lukewarm. And then the church of Philadelphia is one of the seven that he names, and it was a loving church. And Jesus complimented them and spoke to John and said, there will be the love of God is needed in every church like Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia has. But it was according to the seven personalities and characteristics working through the seven churches. Lean in, I promise this is going to hit you right where you're living. He said, now, in the church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead, her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up. And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things, and if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel, they will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way. Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts. A spirit that had certain characteristics of this woman in the Old Testament who was married to King Ahab.
So there you go. Jezebel today is a spirit out there somewhere, and she zones in on churches, and of course, he doesn't tell us how she's getting pregnant, because she is having babies. She's having babies. She's giving birth to little demonic spirits. So what spirit out there is impregnating? I mean, is it the spirit of Ahab that's impregnating her? He fails to tell us. The fairy tale, the fable, is incomplete because we don't have the total picture. But we do know, based on Jensen Franklin's teaching here, that Jezebel was at the church of Thyatira. She was at, and she gave birth to little demonic spirits. And today she's back at it at your church, at my church, at his church. And be careful with those little baby demons. Don't feed them now. Don't go shopping at Walmart. Don't get them baby food. This is just stupid. This makes no sense. This guy, listen, if this guy was preaching this in the 1950s, they would have people running into this church with white coats on. They would take them off that pulpit. They would drag them off the pulpit, take them to some back room, put a straitjacket on him, and just put them in the paddy wagon, and they would take them and put them in a rubber room in some mental institution. That's what they would do to Jensen Franklin if he was preaching this in the 1950s. But since it's 2019 and the church has been dumbed down and people like to have their itching ears tickled, they're drinking this Kool-Aid. So, let's turn to your outlines. And my brothers and sisters, let me tell you, don't miss any of the programs. Don't take shortcuts. These outlines and these broadcasts are designed to build upon each other. You miss a broadcast, you fail to listen to a broadcast, you're only cheating yourself. You're only cheating yourself because I'm giving you a wealth of information here. Now, the outline that you should be turning to is on page 30. We've already done 29 pages. We've already covered 29 pages of study. So we're on page 30. The heading on top is red. The heading reads, Contending for the Faith with Moses Henry Jones Broadcast. The broadcast number is 226. It is part 10 in this series. And the broadcast date is 12/17/2019, December 17, 2019. That's today's broadcast date. So if the heading's in red and you have broadcast number 226, part 10, 12/17/2019, and at the bottom of the page is page 30, you're at the right spot. So, we are dismantling the second faulty interpretation pillar in Jensen Franklin's sermon, Jezebel's Children. Franklin claims in his second faulty interpretation pillar, he claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit transitioned into a demonic existence. That's what he's teaching. He's teaching that basically what he's saying is when Jezebel died, Jezebel was, she died, the dogs ate her body, but her spirit went into space and there it morphed into a demon. Her human spirit morphed into a demon, or she reincarnated, if you will. He's not using the word reincarnation, but that's basically what he's saying. She reincarnated into a demonic spirit. This demonic spirit is getting today demonically pregnant, giving birth to little demons. You heard him. I don't make this up. And this is why, although it's painstaking, listen, it's painstakingly painful to play this audio every single day. My goodness, I'm sure that my listeners are tired of hearing him say the same stupid things. But I have to play it because if I didn't play it, you wouldn't believe me if I told you he said it. Because it is so far out there. What he's saying is so far out there that you would think, this guy has something against Jensen Franklin. He's making things up. This guy is just like Adam Schiff, who's making things up about President Trump's telephone call with the president of Ukraine. That's what you would be saying. That's why I play the audio. Because I don't have anything against Jensen Franklin. Listen, I don't hate the man. I have nothing against the man. In fact, I would like to help him. I would like to train him. I would like to teach him. He's a false teacher extraordinaire. He dropped out of college. I can help him with that. Whatever he didn't get in Bible college, which wasn't much, he dropped out of Bible college. I can give him a good Bible college education. I can help him in that area. I don't have anything against him. He's just a false teacher. He's a wolf. As a wolf, I have to contend against him. He has to be Paul said to Titus, those that preach heretical teachings, rebuke them sharply. You don't say, come here, little wolf. Let me give you a little Scooby snack, Mr. Wolf. No, you don't give a wolf a Scooby snack. You take the shepherd's club and you whack that wolf right on the crown of his skull. You hit that wolf so hard that you let him know that there's a shepherd in the field. So, here is Jensen Franklin's faulty interpretation, pillar number two. Again, this dimwit, this nitwit, this halfwit claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit, I have to emphasize, because, you know, she was a human being. She had a human body, she had a human soul, and she had a human spirit. He teaches that at death, Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit transitioned into a demon. Well, let's go to point number one in your outline. And we've been talking about, I introduced you yesterday to a concept in theology called the intermediate state. The intermediate state. And this is why I tell you, don't skip any of the broadcast. Don't jump around. Don't say, well, I'll listen to this one, but I won't listen to this. No, they're all interconnected. You must listen to them in their order. If you do so, you're going to learn a whole lot. So now, to define what the intermediate state is, I want to go to the greatest confession, in my opinion, the greatest confession ever put forth by the Lord's Church. Our confession is a creed. Our creed is a statement of belief. The greatest confession ever written, in my opinion, is the Westminster Confession of Faith, which was written in 1647 by the Protestant Puritans of England. In chapter 32 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, they deal with this subject called the state of men after death. The state of men after death. And I'm going to read to you from section 1. I'm not going to read the whole, because this intermediate state is very lengthy in the Westminster Confession, but I only, for the purposes of today's broadcast, we're only going to look at section number 1. Section 1 of the intermediate state. All right, section 1 reads like this. The bodies of men after death return to the dust and see corruption. What proof text do they provide us? Genesis 3:19 and Acts 13:36. So the bodies of men, all men, when they die, after death, their bodies return to the dust and see corruption. God said unto Adam, from dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That's what most preachers say when they're standing at the interment. You know, when a preacher is doing the interment ceremony at a cemetery, he opens his minister's manual and he reads that scripture. And God said to Adam, from dust you are, and from dust you shall return. That's part of the interment ceremony. That's one of the scriptures. All right. So the bodies of men after death return to the dust and see corruption, but their souls, which neither die nor sleep, having an immortal subsistence, immediately return to God who gave them. And we looked at these scriptures yesterday in yesterday's lesson, Luke 23:43 and Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. It goes on to say, does the Westminster Confession of Faith, the souls of the righteous, being made perfect in holiness, are received into the highest heaven, where they behold the face of God in light and glory, waiting for the full redemption of their bodies. Again, the scriptures that they provide us is Hebrews 12:23, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, verse 6, verse 8, Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Acts chapter 3, verse 21, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. And the souls of the wicked, see, the righteous are received into the highest heaven, where they behold the face of God in light and glory, waiting for the full redemption of their bodies. And the souls of the wicked. Who was wicked? Jezebel was wicked. Ahab's wife Jezebel was wicked. You start reading 1 Kings chapter 16 and read all the way to 2 Kings chapter 9, and you know that this was a cursed woman, a wicked woman, a rebellious woman, one who opposed God and his prophets, one given over to witchcraft and whoredoms. Jezebel was wicked. And the souls of the wicked are cast into hell, whereby they remain in torments and utter darkness, reserved to the judgment of the great day. And the scriptures afforded us are Luke chapter 16, verses 23 through 24, Acts chapter 1, verse 25, Jude, verse 6 and 7, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. Now I put it here in bold. Besides these two places for souls separated from their bodies, and we call that the disembodied state. Remember yesterday's lesson, the disembodied state. What's the disembodied state? The disembodied state is when the soul is detached from the body. So besides these two places for souls separated from their bodies, the scripture acknowledges none. So if you're a believer and you die in Christ, because that's what a believer is, he goes to the highest heaven and beholds the beauty of God. If you are a wicked person and you die apart from Christ, then your soul is put in hell. There are only two places, only two. We're not Catholics. We don't believe in purgatory. We don't believe in limbus tantrum. We don't believe in limbus infantum. No. We are Bible reading, Bible adhering believers. We're just like the Bereans. And the Bible teaches that there are only two places for the souls of men. Two places. Why? Because the souls of men can be divided into two groups, the souls of the righteous and the souls of the wicked. And there's no in-between. All right. Let's move down to page 31. And I want to read to you a definition of the intermediate state based on the New Dictionary of Theology by Ferguson and Wright. All right. This is what it says. The intermediate state. This expression is not found in the Bible. And that's an important point to make. The intermediate state is not found in the Bible, but it's referred to in the Bible. Just like, saints, you're not going to find the word Trinity in the Bible, but you know that our God is triune because the Bible infers through many scriptures that God is what? Triune. Therefore, we refer to the Trinity, even though the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. So this statement or the phrase, the intermediate state, this expression is not found in the Bible, but traditionally and it's based on scripture tradition, may I add, refers to the condition of mankind between death and resurrection. For unbelievers, it is a state of anguish and torment in Hades. And I put there in little quotes, hell, or in brackets rather. In brackets, I put hell. And the scripture again is Luke chapter 6, 16, Luke 16, 23 through 25 and 28, and 2 Peter 2, 9. So again, for unbelievers, it is a state of anguish and torment in hell or Hades as they await resurrection and final judgment, which is John 5, 28 through 29. Since divine judgment is based on an evaluation solely on one's life on earth, and there are the scriptures, Romans 2, 6, 2 Corinthians 5, 10, 1 Peter 1, 17. The intermediate state affords no second chance to repent and embrace the gospel. So notice, when you die and you find yourself, if you're wicked, if you oppose Christ during your first state, which was above ground, remember we talked about the three stages of man? So here you are above ground, you are walking on the face of the earth, you get to walk upon the face of the earth for 60, 70, 80 years, but during all that time, you reject Jesus, you want nothing to do with Jesus, you don't want any, you don't want God sticking his nose in your life, and then you die. When you open your eyes, you are in hell. All right, so when you find yourself in hell, you can't say, well, I want to accept Jesus now. How I want to receive the God. No, there's no second chance. There's no second chance in the intermediate state. There's no chance for you to repent, and there's no chance for you to embrace the gospel or embrace Jesus. That's it. It goes on to say, for the believer, it is a period during which his bodiless soul, again, that's the disembodied period or the disembodied stage, his bodiless soul in conscious communion with Christ awaits the receipt of the resurrection body. Now, that's pretty clear. There's only two places. So, When Jezebel, Ahab's wife, died in 2 Kings 9, when she died, she, her soul and spirit, which are the two immaterial parts of man, remember, there's two invisible parts to man. Man is tripart. Man is made up of soul, spirit, and body. We looked at those scriptures. So the soul and spirit are called the immaterial part of man, and because they are immaterial and have no physical substance, they are invisible. The only material part of man and the only visible part of man is the body. You go to a funeral parlor, you're going to go pay your respects to a particular family, a family member died, you stand in front of the casket, you look down into the casket, all you see is the person's body. That you can see it because that's the only material part of man. That's the only visible part of man. The other two parts of man, which are absent, which have become separated from the body, which have become disengaged from the body, are the two other parts which are immaterial, and since they are immaterial, you don't see the soul and you don't see the spirit. Now, the souls of wicked men wind up in a place called Hades or hell. The souls of the righteous wind up going to heaven. There's only two places because there's only two kinds of people. In God's eyes, it's not black or white. In God's eyes, it's not male or female. In God's eyes, it's not Jew or Gentile. In God's eyes, it's not rich or poor. In God's eyes, it's not young or old. In God's eye is redeemed or wicked, saved or unsaved, the righteous or the unrighteous. That's it. Okay, so let me continue reading. As noted, the Bible describes death as the moment the soul and spirit separate and leave the body. two important passages of Scripture may be cited as proof text for the intermediate state. Two. And those are the two that have the little star or the little asterisk on them. Okay? So we want to turn to the Gospel according to Luke. Let's turn to the Gospel according to Luke. This is commonly referred to as the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. The parable, the teaching. This is a teaching. Jesus here is teaching us about the intermediate state. The very same Jesus who speaks in Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29, those passages that Jensen Franklin read about Jezebel's children, those passages on which he's basing his sermons, those happen to be the words of Jesus in Revelation, but we want to look at the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, particularly chapter 16, where he's going to teach on the intermediate state. That is the second stage of man's existence. Remember, the intermediate state is the second stage of man's existence, where his body is in the ground, but his soul is either in heaven or in hell. Okay, so let's begin reading. The word of the Lord begins by stating in Luke 16:19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to feed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked Lazarus's sores. Verse number 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died. The beggar died. And what happened to the beggar? He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was what? Buried. And no doubt, listen, at the rich man's burial, there must have been a lot of limousines and there must have been a lot of influential people. Perhaps the governor was at the rich man's, listen, no doubt the governor was at the rich man's burial, interment. No doubt the mayor, the congressman was there. Listen, there were so many people there. So many people. And he, listen, the rich man got this glorious send-off. But Lazarus, being a beggar, was no doubt put into a potter's grave, a pauper's grave. Nobody was there. Just the undertaker was there, threw his body in the ground. No casket, no box, no nothing. He was just dragged there, and dirt was just put on him. There were no mourners. No one was crying. No politicians. No one there from social services. No one there from the homeless shelter. No one was there. But the rich man was buried. And in hell, or in Hades. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So where was Lazarus? He was in Abraham's bosom. Okay. Verse 24, and the rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and that he might cool my tongue, for I am in torment in the flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between you, us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. We can't get to you, you can't get to us. There's a great chasm. so that they which would pass from thence cannot, you cannot, neither can we pass unto us, and would come from thence. And the rich man said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brethren. They are above ground. They're not dead yet. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, that he may preach unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have the Bible. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them read. Let them hear Moses and the prophets. That's what he said. He says, listen, they have Moses. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham replied and said unto him, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded from one who rises from the dead. So notice, my dear brothers and sisters, notice, and this is not, again, let me just say to you, this is not an exhaustive study, because you are not one of my church members. You are not sitting in my church, and you don't have my binder with my notes, and I am not teaching you elemental theology. You're not taking that 1-year course with me in my church. So this is not an exhaustive study. And by the way, after you finish elemental theology 1, 2, and 3, then I would take you as a church member, and you would do intermediate theology, which would be theology on another level. And then after you finish intermediate theology, I would take you to advanced theology 1, 2, and 3. So there are 3 levels. So this is not an exhaustive study. This is just a literal introduction to get you to know, to get you to understand that you've been going to church for 20, 30, 40 years, and you've been taught nothing by your do-nothing, say-nothing pastors. So now, I want you to notice that there's 2 places, one for the righteous, one for the wicked. And, of course, the rich man calls Abraham his father, but Abraham is not his spiritual father, because had Abraham been his spiritual father, he would have been born again, because we who are born again are of the seed of Abraham. So he was just claiming Abraham to be his father in the same way that someone who shares the same DNA claim, well, you know, as far as DNA, I can trace my ancestry to Abraham. That's what he was saying. He was saying Abraham was a Hebrew, I'm a Hebrew, through DNA. That's how Abraham is my father. He's the father of the Hebrew nation, but he is not a spiritual descendant of Abraham. Remember, God said to Abraham, I will give you descendants. Look up to the stars of heaven. Your descendants will be as the stars of heaven. That's one group of descendants. Those are the spiritual descendants. And then God said to them, and your descendants will be as the grains of sand by the seashore. That's his natural descendants. Earthly descendants, heavenly descendants. Spiritual descendants, genetic descendants. That's what God was referring to when he was speaking to Abraham and mentioned the stars of heaven and the grains of sand by the sea. So notice, when the rich man says, Father Abraham, he's just saying, listen, you are the father of our nation. We descend from you genetically. We are your offspring, if you will, in the natural. But he is not a spiritual descendant of Abraham, because had he been a spiritual descendant, he would have been where Lazarus was, where all the born-again people go. So, my brothers and sisters, when Jezebel died, we would have to conclude, based on what Jesus taught here on the intermediate state, that she would be where? In Hades or hell. That's where she is. She's not at the Church of Thyatira having little demonic babies, and she's not at Jensen Franklin's church having little demonic babies and doing as she would. And she's not at your church or my church having little demonic babies and unleashing hell on us. No. She is confined to a place called Hades, hell. All right, now, I want you to notice, I want you to focus in here on verse 22. Let's go to verse 22 of Luke 16. Luke 16, this is another clue that you know that the passage is talking about heaven. In Luke 22:16, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." That word bosom there in English is the Greek word kolpos, kolpos, K-O-L. If you translate it from the Greek into the English, it's K-O-L-P-O-S. You can take your Strong's Concordance and you can check this out for yourself. I'm not making it up. The same way the English word hell in Luke 16:19-31 is the Greek word Hades. So, when you look at the word hell in your English concordance, there are three different Greek words. One is Hades, the other Gehenna, the other is Tartarus. There's three Greek words for hell, which are translated hell in English. Don't worry about that now. We're not going to get into that. Right now, we just want to deal with the hell called Hades. The hell called Hades. And that's where all disembodied, wicked spirits, souls, go to be. So notice, the angels carried Lazarus to whose bosom? Abraham's bosom, Abraham's kolpos. Abraham's bosom is synonymous with heaven. Well, brother, how is that possible? Well, go to John chapter 1, and in John chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son," which is Jesus Christ, "the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, the corpus of the Father, he have declared the Father." So notice, where did Jesus come from? Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. The bosom of the Father is heaven. That's where God resides. Jesus came from the corpus pater, the pater meaning father, and he came from the father's side or the father's bosom. Where did Lazarus go to? Abraham's bosom, the father's bosom. Now it's called, and Luke is called Abraham's bosom because, again, Abraham is the father of all those who believe. All the saved get to go where Abraham went. But here in John 1:18, it's called the Father's bosom. Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. The Father's bosom and Abraham's bosom is one and the same place, heaven. It's the same Greek word, kolpos. Same word. Okay, now. All righty. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, and here Jesus is hanging on a cross, and Jesus is talking to one of the men who are hanging beside him. Luke 23, verse 42, it reads, this is the second scripture that I want you to see about paradise or about where disembodied souls go to, and in Luke 23:42. This is the conversation that takes place between Jesus and one of the malefactors hanging next to Jesus. And it says in verse 42, and he, the malefactor, one of the thieves hanging on the cross, and he said unto Jesus, "Lord," now he accepted Jesus as Savior on the cross. This man received Jesus as his Lord and Savior on his deathbed, if you will. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom." Well, where is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is in heaven. Jesus said, when standing before Pilate, Pilate says, "Show me your kingdom." He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom's heaven." He said, "Remember me when you come into thy kingdom," verse 43. And Jesus said unto day, "Verily I say unto you," Jesus is saying, you can take this to the bank. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Where are you going to be with me? Paradise. Paradise. Today, when you die, when you give up the ghost, today, when your spirit and soul separates from the body, because that's what physical death is, and you transition into your second state of existence, today, as you enter in, as you transition into your second state of existence, you will find yourself with me in paradise. Paradise is another biblical term for heaven. Now, let's go to the scriptures. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 12:4. And let's read what the Apostle Paul said. 2 Corinthians 4. And he says here, how that he was caught up into paradise, unto heaven, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Where was Paul caught up to? To paradise. That's where he was caught up to paradise. And this happened to Paul when he was stoned. Remember, he was stoned at Lystra, and he was left for dead. Paul was stoned, and they dragged away his dead body, and while his soul and spirit were temporarily separated from his dead body as he was stoned, he was caught up to paradise. He was caught up to Abraham's bosom, which is another word. Jesus said to the man on the cross, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." The Greek word paradiso. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation 2, 7. One of the promises that Jesus makes, one of the blessings that he will give to those who overcome, is found here in Revelation 2, 7. This is to the church of Ephesus. He says, 2:7 says, "He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." The tree of life was taken to the paradise of God. The paradise of God is heaven. That's where all believers go. So notice, my brothers and sisters, the wicked go to Hades. The wicked go to hell. The wicked go to a place where their soul and spirit is being tormented while their body is still in the grave. Remember, this is a hell for the soul and spirit. The body is in the grave. Likewise, the believer gets taken to Abraham's bosom, which is another term for heaven, which is another term for paradise. All right. There's only two places, saints. There's only two places. All right. Let's go to page number 32. Page number 32 has point two, Old Testament Jezebel's present state. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters, according to 2 Kings 9:22 and 34, Jezebel died. How do we know she died? The dogs ate her body. Remember that? Remember we read that where she died? Okay, so at the moment of death, if you read all those scriptures, if you read all the scriptures I told you to read yesterday, you would know that when a person dies, their body goes into the ground, but their spirit goes back to God who gave it. All right, so now, we know Jezebel died. If she died, she transitioned from her first state of existence into her second state of existence. What's the second state? The second state is the intermediate state. All right. So if she was wicked, there's only two places. If she was wicked, she went to Hades. She went to where the rich man went. She went where Adolf Hitler has gone. She went where all the wicked go, to one place, Hades. The saved, the redeemed, get to go to heaven. All right. So now, where is Jezebel? She is where the intermediate abode of the wicked. Where is that? Hades. All right. So let's go to number one. What is the intermediate state? What is the abode of the wicked? A place of extreme punishment. Hades is a place of extreme punishment. Whoever goes to Hades is ipso facto a wicked person, and like dives, which is another term for the rich man, goes to punishment and misery. We just read that. We just read that in Luke chapter 16. So, listen, whoever goes to Hades is ipso facto a wicked person. And like the rich man, goes to a place of punishment and misery, because that's what Jesus taught. And we don't go by what Jensen Franklin teaches. We go by what Jesus teaches. All righty. Hades is an inescapable prison. Isn't that what Abraham says? He says, listen, Abraham said to the rich man, when the rich man said, can you go send Lazarus on an errand? Go tell Lazarus to go dip his finger in some water and come over here and give it to me because I'm burning up. And Abraham said, listen, first of all, that's not possible because there's a big chasm. We can't go to you. You can't come to us. We can't leave this place and you can't leave your place. There's no connection between the two places. There's no way we can get to you or you can get to us. There's no way we can leave our place. There's no way you can leave your place. You, in other words, Abraham was saying to him, you are in an inescapable prison. Hades is represented as a prison for all the wicked dead. Christ is both their jailer and warden. Jesus said to St. John, I have the keys of Hades and of death, Revelation 1:18. That's a scripture Jensen Franklin never read. And if he read it, he ignored it. And Jesus described himself as he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Listen, he is jailer and warden. No disembodied sinner can escape their imprisonment in Hades, and none will be paroled from this hell for disembodied spirits. Why is it that no one is paroled? Because you don't get a chance to repent. You don't get a chance to accept Jesus. And that's the only way you can be saved, if you're born again. And there's no second chance in the second stage of human existence, as we have already concluded. Moving on. And I'm quoting here again William T. Shedd, a great scholar. He writes, Hades, the intermediate state for the wicked, surrenders its inhabitants that they may be re-embodied and receive the final sentence, and then is incorporated into Gehenna, the final abode of the unsaved. So what is he saying? Okay, let's read. In order to understand what he's saying here, Hades, the intermediate state of the wicked, surrenders its inhabitants that they may be re-embodied. In other words, their soul and spirit goes, when the resurrection of the dead takes place, the wicked will have their souls and spirits reattached, re-embodied, reconnected, if you will, to their bodies, and receive the final sentence, and then is incorporated into Gehenna, the final abode of the unsaved. To understand that, you got to go to Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 through 14, which says, and the sea gave up the dead bodies which were in it, and death and Hades, the intermediate abode of the wicked, delivered up the dead that were in them. And, of course, if the sea is giving up the dead, and the earth is giving up the dead, and that's referring to dead bodies, and hell and death are giving up, and hell, meaning Hades, is giving up the dead that are in them. The souls are in Hades, and the bodies are in the earth. So when the two come together, when they're commanded to give up what they have, when both these places, when the cemeteries are commanded to give up the bodies, and Hades is commanded to give up the souls, it's done so that they can be reunited or reincorporated or reattached or reconnected. Then it says, and death and hell, which is Hades, death meaning the grave, death and hell, or Hades, the abode of the wicked, shall be cast into the lake of fire, which is Gehenna. Gehenna is the final abode of the wicked. Gehenna is the second hell. That's the final state. That's where the wicked, you see, there's a temporary hell called Hades, only for the soul, but there's a final hell for the wicked. That's where the soul, spirit, and body of the wicked is reconnected and thrown into the lake of fire. So there's a temporary hell and there's a final hell. The temporary hell is the intermediate state. The final hell is the final state. All right. So again, let's go back to Shedd's dogmatic theology. I'm going to go where it says Hades, the intermediate state of the wicked, surrenders its inhabitants that they may be re-embodied and receive the final sentence. What's the final sentence? The white throne judgment. That's the final sentence. And then is incorporated into Gehenna, the final abode for the unsaved. You see how Hades and death are cast into the lake of fire, how Gehenna, the final hell, swallows up the intermediate hell. That's what happens. Okay. Now, it says here in the final sentence in Shedd's quote, it says, hell without the body, Hades, becomes hell, Gehenna, with the body. You see that? That's an important statement. That is a critical, critical statement. That statement right there. Hell without the body, Hades, becomes Gehenna, or hell with the body. All right. This is my conclusion. My conclusion reads like this. Where was Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit when St. John penned Revelation 2:20? Where was her spirit? Well, Jensen Franklin would have you to believe that her spirit, her soul, was at the Church of Thyatira wreaking havoc. Jensen Franklin would have you believe today that Jezebel's spirit and her soul are at your church wreaking havoc. But that's not where she's at. How do we know that? Because Jesus tells us in his word, and many other authors of scriptures tell us in the word, that when a wicked person dies, they enter, they transition into the second phase of their existence, and depending whether they're righteous or wicked, if they're righteous, they go to heaven, but if they're wicked, they go to hell. So my answer is, when you ask me the question, don't ask Jensen Franklin the question, because if you ask Jensen Franklin, where was Jezebel's Old Testament spirit when John penned Revelation 2:20, he's going to tell you, she was at the Church of Thyatira having little demon babies. Wrong answer. I will answer, Jezebel is in the same place. She's in the same place where her spirit is today. Where is her spirit today? Where is Jezebel's spirit today? She's in Hades. She's been there since the day that they threw her out the window, that her body hit the wall, that the blood splattered everywhere, where the horses trampled under her body, where the dogs ate her. Jezebel's body was separated from her soul, and the moment that happened, she opened up her eyes, and she was in Hades like the rich man. And you can't escape. Why can't you escape? Because, listen, that jail, the jailer is Jesus. He has the keys of Hades and of death. Listen, Jesus is the jailer and the warden. No one escapes that jail. No one. That jail is tighter than Alcatraz. No, only three guys ever escaped Alcatraz. But from this jail called Hades, nobody escapes. So you see why I took the long road. You see how it was so important to just take you very, very slowly and develop this teaching and just take a little baby. We were taking little baby steps. Now, you can take baby steps with Jensen Franklin's little baby demons, or you can take baby steps with me. And we took little baby steps, and now you know that it is impossible for Jezebel. It's impossible for Jezebel to be at your church or my church or Jensen Franklin's church. It's impossible for her spirit to be there because she's been locked up in hell, and Jesus threw away the key when he locked her up. And Jesus throws away the key when he locks up every other wicked person. He throws away the key until the resurrection of the wicked. Then those wicked souls are reunited with their bodies so that they can suffer in the final state. And if you thought the intermediate state was horrible, the final state is even worse because now your body will suffer the... Listen, you just had your soul and spirit suffering the torments of the flames. Now, all those sins you committed in your first stage of existence, because every man, every woman who dies apart from Christ committed all their sins in the body. This is why it is a third hell. And it is in this third hell called Gehenna that you will suffer for all eternity if you turned your backs on Christ and, in essence, turned your back on yourself. Jezebel is in the same place where her spirit is today. Where is that? She's not at your church, saints. She can't be, because that would make Jensen Franklin the teacher of truth and Jesus Christ the teacher of lies. If you believe Jensen Franklin's version, Jesus is the liar and Jensen Franklin is the way, the truth, and the life. And I beg to biblically differ from that conclusion. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, please be a media missionary. You know, a lot of people need to be saved. Not from sin and death, but a lot of people, like for example, Jensen Franklin's church members. You know what they need to be saved from? They need to be saved from an erroneous teacher. That's what they need to be saved from. And I want to encourage you, be a media missionary. How many people do you know need to be saved from pastors who are teaching exactly the same gibberish Jensen Franklin is teaching, and they're leading tens of thousands of people astray with this false teaching? You need to be a media missionary. Expose someone to these teachings. Tell them about the broadcast. Tell them how they can get the free outlines. Help me open their eyes to the gospel truth. Well, saints, that'll be all for today. I might be back tomorrow, depending on the numbers. If I see that everybody's caught up and everybody's listened to all the broadcasts, I will continue with this pillar. We're not done with this pillar. By no means are we done with this pillar. We must continue to go on with this pillar. There's more that I need to teach. The pillar is hanging by a thread, but we just need to give it a couple of more whacks so that it comes completely down like pillar number one. So depending on the numbers, I may be back tomorrow if the numbers are good, if everybody's caught up, or I may delay it a day or two just to give people enough time to catch up and listen to all the broadcasts, because I do go fast, and people need to stay with me. So God bless you. I'm praying for you. You pray for me, and be a media missionary. God bless you.